Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now to something I don't think has ever been done on Open House before. We kick off a three-week series on faith in Hollywood. Aussie film directors Chris Bailey and Dana Newell have created a true winner with their latest short film called Lost in the Dark. Here's the challenge for filmmakers worldwide. Draw a random scripture, shoot, edit, and produce a 10-minute film in just 168 hours. What a tall order. Now Chris and Dana are in the running for a $1 million prize after having their work nominated for 8 awards at the 168 Film Project in LA. They were selected out of 156 entries. Lost in the Dark is about a young woman who must do everything she can to be reconciled with the ones she's wronged before night descends, or the terrible creatures of darkness will come to claim her. The film's been a huge success, and it's great news, not just for Australian filmmakers, but also for shining a light on Christian faith in Hollywood. Next week, we speak to Phil Cook about his major US film production company and his passion to change our spiritual outlook by telling stories that not only entertain, but inspire change. But first, to the director of Lost in the Dark, Chris Bailey. He joins us now from his home in Melbourne to speak about his work of art and the impending 168 Film Festival in LA. Chris Bailey, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Lee. Really excited to be here.
It's great to have you on, and congratulations first on the success of Lost in the Dark. Did you expect such a positive response, let alone 8 nominations?
Oh, you know, I wish I could say that I did, but no, honestly, when Dana first approached me about the project, you know, it was earlier on this year, and honestly, I said yes because I thought it was a great excuse just to make something. You know, it would force us into making another film, you know, the timeline, the chance to get crew together and to make something happen. And so, no, I didn't expect it to have quite the reception that it's received, so it's been such a thrill to watch it unfold.
And it must be said, you've never entered before.
Yeah, that's right. So this is my first time doing this competition. Yeah, I've actually never done a timed film competition before. I've always done the, you know, you make it in your own time and just submit to film festivals. So it was new on a whole lot of levels for me.
So take us through the filmmaking process, because it's an intriguing kind of principle.
Yeah, so what happened was we were given a theme. So every team across the world was given this theme this year, which was atonement. So our films had to express atonement. And then what they did was the festival organizers selected random verses of scripture and gave each team a different verse. And you had to build your film on that verse. So that's how they knew that each film was legitimately made for the festival specifically. Yeah. And so they didn't give us that verse until we had a week to write it. And then after that writing week is when the 168 hours began, and that was the actual production time. So they gave it to us a week before that, and we had 1 week to write the script based on that verse of scripture and take it from there. So that was a huge challenge, and having that deadline of 168 hours, which comes to be 1 week, was incredible. I've never done that much in such a short amount of time.
I bet. Very scary. What scripture did you have?
Yeah, so we got, actually, you know, it's funny, some teams got scriptures like God is love, you know, and we set a challenge for ourselves at the beginning that we wanted to make sure that our film would communicate God's love to not just Christians, but really communicate well to people who may have never set foot in a church before. So that was a personal goal for us. And then we got our verse of scripture, which was Exodus 21, verses 23 to 25, which says, but if there's any serious injury, you're to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise.
Oh, excellent.
This is the biggest challenge I think we could have ever expected.
Yes. So how did you come up with the idea then, from that, to Lost in the Dark, especially in such a short time frame?
Well, we sat down, we had about 24 hours we gave ourselves to try and just understand the verse.
Yes.
And figure out how to approach it. So we sat down in my living room. We you know, had a bunch of books and stuff and had a couple of study Bibles. And we went through and just tried to pick apart what other people had written about that verse. And what we began to see was that, you know, when we read that verse now, we see it as it's a real kind of, it sounds like it's like a very judgmental kind of harsh verse in our society and from our cultural perspective.
Yes.
But when we began to see it in its historical context, it really changed the way we looked at the verse. And what we found was that, you know, this was a law that was given to the Israelites, and God was communicating this to them in a time when, you know, they had just spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt. And, you know, they'd come their way out. And at that time in the world, there was this practice of escalated violence. So if someone did something wrong to someone else, they would come back and not just hurt that person, but they'd want to hurt their whole family. It was this escalated violence to get justice. And so here God is coming in and saying, no, 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 let's actually settle everything down, and let's just have equal payment for wrong. And it's such an early kind of introduction to this idea of equitable justice. So once we saw that, and we saw this is actually about God bringing peace to the situation, that was our road in, I think, to understanding how to tell the story.
It's an interesting interpretation because on the surface of it, it could have been your classic Hollywood violent film.
That's right.
Yes.
Dana did look at me and think, does this mean we get to put lots of blood in the movie?
That's right.
So, but from there, it was a real challenge because we had to then, you know, take that next step. And how do we engage an audience in that verse? And, you know, one of the things I'm really passionate about as a filmmaker is, especially, you know, Christian filmmakers, how can I, you know, really engage the widest audience possible? And how can I tell a story that's really going to genuinely entertain and engage people that, you know, may have never encountered Christ or, you know, ever been in the church before, and yet at the same time still communicate something about Christ, express Christ in some way? So we sat down and we took that perspective on the verse, and we got a bunch of Post-it notes out and pieces of paper, and we taped them all up on the walls. The room was a mess by the time we were done. But we just started off with asking the question, what was a way that someone could wrong someone else that they would need to make atonement for? And we started working through that. First, you know, we had a lot of ideas that gangster films, you know.
Yes.
And we were like, we can't go that way. We've got to go something different. And we ended up deciding on an idea where we'd have someone steal something very simple. And so we decided that we'd have someone wrong someone else by stealing a can of soup. And we thought that was an interesting challenge. And so from there, it became the question of how do you make stealing food really important? And that then led us to the next step, which was, well, let's put it in a post-apocalyptic future. Let's just ride the wave that everyone else seems to be riding right now, and let's make food a scarcity, put some people in a real extreme circumstance.
So how challenging was the process of doing all that in 168 hours?
I did think when we finished writing the script, you know, it basically is a, you know, it's a post-apocalyptic monster movie. And we kind of looked at that and thought, what have we done to ourselves? How are we going to pull this off with no budget and, you know, 1 week? And it was a moment of, we made the wrong choice. But we just said, okay, God, let's go on this journey. I think the hardest challenge for us was finding a good location because we needed something, you know, the story takes place around this house that, you know, a family had abandoned and during, you know, this post-apocalyptic event, and now, you know, there were people just hiding in it. We needed it to just, you know, to look like it had been abandoned for a long time.
And yes.
We found this one location. Dana, the producer, did a fantastic job of sourcing everything that we needed, and she found this great location not too far out of Melbourne here in the mountains. We had it all lined up. I went out and saw the location. They had these really old cabins that were kind of falling apart. It was great for, you know, sort of a cabin in the woods story like we had. And so we had it all set up, and then we got a phone call day before we started filming. It was the landlord, and I said, we're so sorry, but you're not going to be able to film here. And it was a devastating blow. We had everything lined up, over 20 crew members. We had our cast. Everybody was ready to arrive on set. And we lost the location. So we got on our knees first. And prayed.
Yeah.
And God, we need some help here. And it was great because we put the word out, and within, I think, 6 hours of losing that location, we had another one come up. Wow. And I quickly drove out and saw it, and it was even better. It was a 100-year-old farmhouse that had been abandoned in the middle of a cow paddock. And so it still had furniture in it, and everything was covered in dust. And it was perfect.
Sounds
so
wonderful.
Yeah.
What's the message that people are left with at the end of this 10 minutes then, Chris?
The thing that people come away with, at least I hope, of this film, is coming away with a real sense of when someone does something wrong to us or we get hurt, it's so easy to want justice. It's so easy to want to get revenge, to make things right by sort of exacting our own will. But there are times when the best thing, the best way forward, is actually just to forgive and to understand each other's perspectives, actually to go into someone else's shoes. And that's what the characters really have to do, is they're forced into a decision. You know, do we reconcile and open the way for our mutual survival, or do we let the anger that we feel towards each other and the hatred we feel towards each other lead us towards mutual destruction? And I think it's a genuine problem that we all face every day in our lives.
And all of that might win you $1 million.
Yes, well, that's the hope.
Yeah.
It's a contract we get to make a $1 million feature film with the studio that's helping to run this, which is a distribution company called Echo Light Pictures out of the States. So it's a chance to develop a feature film idea with a budget of up to $1 million that they provide, and then they sort of coach us through that process and help us to get the film.
I can't wait to hear how you go. When is it announced? When's the award announced?
So we find out in L.A. at the festival the night of the 10th of August.
Okay, we'll check for sure. You spoke earlier of Christian filmmakers.
Yes.
Are there many, especially here in Australia, and is there much work for them?
You know, that's a really good question. There's something very common about when you meet a Christian filmmaker, and usually the first thing they say is, I thought I was the only one.
Yes.
So there's this perception, I think, that a lot of Christian filmmakers in Australia especially have, that they're alone and that there's no one else like them. And that's just not true. There's actually a lot of Christian filmmakers. You know, there's been a lot of really exciting developments in the last few years here in Australia, specifically with things like Spark. It's an organization that's been put together by CMA. They've been organizing these meetings for Christian artists, and they've got a conference coming up actually in Sydney just in August. We're going to miss it because we'll be at the festival. But it's a great chance to connect to other filmmakers and to meet them. And so that's kind of how I've been running into a lot of the filmmakers locally. As far as work goes, the film industry is a very funny beast. It's such an entrepreneur's industry. Each film is its own startup business, you could say. And nice. And you really have to have the confidence and the faith to go, okay, this is a story that's worth telling, and investing yourself and your time into getting people excited about it, getting them on board and moving forward. And I'm seeing that happen. You know, there's one of the coolest things about this 168 Film Festival has been that, you know, people have submitted from all over the world, but Australia has actually had 4 films place in the festival.
Yeah.
And that was a huge, that's such an exciting thing to see.
Yes.
There was a team in Brisbane, there's a team in Perth, there's a team in Sydney, there's a team in Melbourne. So we've got all 4 corners covered.
And it's a very interesting time because we're in the midst of the Bible series on Channel 9 at the moment. In our series, we'll be speaking with Phil Cook and Kathleen Cook, 2 major players in Christian filmmaking in Hollywood. And more and more, this is shining a light in Hollywood, as I said before. Authentic Christian faith.
Yeah, you know, there's been a long time, there's been a strong contingent of Christians in Hollywood itself, you know, between the churches. There's some amazing churches in Hollywood that are doing a great job just sowing into that community, and I think it's really exciting. I think what's most exciting now, though, more than ever, I think, is the way that things are changing, and the fact that, you know, distribution now is becoming accessible. You know, you can crowdfund a film, you know, through websites like Possible and Kickstarter, and connect to your audience directly and actually begin to make films directly for them. And that's never been seen before, and it's just creating an amazing resurgence of independent filmmaking on a global level. It's really empowering.
It's a very interesting time, and very much look forward to continuing our series over the next couple of weeks. Chris Bailey, thank you so much indeed for joining us. Wish you all the best for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, thank you very, very
Keep
much.
Keep us in touch. Good on you. Thank you.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.